there, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. I'm your host, Rodney Mathers. It's come to my attention that a lot of people come home from incarceration to find their parents in nursing homes and elderly, some even suffering from Alzheimer's. And so we got an expert today to help us deal with that particular situation, coming home from incarceration and finding our parents in that kind of situation. And so my special guest today is Miss Lori LeBay. She's an expert on this kind of thing, and you want to be sure and stay tuned for that. Lori LeBay coming up right after this on The Journey of Hope. Got some great shows coming up in the next several weeks here on The Journey of Hope, and remember, they're all targeted for you and me as ex-offenders, things that will help us in our transition as we come home from incarceration. Belinda Mays, Les Smith, Jeremiah Russell, Mark Lerner, just a few of the special guests coming up in the next couple of weeks, and several weeks right here on The Journey of Hope. Hey there, and welcome back. Lori LeBay is here with us. Lori owns Alzheimer Speaks and Senior Lifestyle Trends. Welcome, Lori. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. The sun's out up here in Minnesota, so I'm a happy camper.
I was going to ask you where you were calling from. That's cool up there. I bet you the weather's beautiful up there this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. The other day we had snow, so we're just thrilled to death it all melted away. So.
I'm down in Houston. It's 90 degrees and humid today.
Oh, yeah, it's a little different. We're probably in our 40s. So.
Summer has already started here. Now, listen, Lori, many ex-offenders, and you know that my show is a show for ex-offenders, and many ex-offenders come home, and the only place for them to go is with their parents. And if they've served a considerable amount of time, and I know many situations where this has happened, their parents are now elderly, many times with physical and mental limitations. And the pressure of readjustment combined with that of all of a sudden becoming a caregiver, I mean, if you can imagine, wow. How does someone separate the day-to-day struggles of job search, readjustment, from being a caregiver in that situation? How would you address that?
Well, I think it's a great question, and it's something I think that everybody struggles with in terms of balance. So, if you're coming out of prison and just readjusting, or if you're living with it day to day, you know, one of the biggest problems that I see that we have in this country is we view caregiving as this crisis mode, and we automatically go there and we view it as something abnormal and an additional task that we have to do. And I think what we really have to come to the grips with is that we're caregivers as soon as we're conceived. And people will argue, how can we be giving care if we're still in the womb? And then I always tell people, well, how many bellies have you patted or talked to? Because it's all about building relationships, and that's the core of giving care. And we can't give good care unless we take care of ourselves. And so, but we're so judgmental in society, and we're always looking at what others think of us, how they value us. You know, am I the good daughter or the good son? You know, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. And it's all about what others think we should be doing. Sometimes we're chasing our tail, trying to please others, instead of really looking at what actually needs to happen in a caregiving relationship. And it might be a child, it might be a spouse, it might be a parent, it might be a stranger on the other side of the street. We choose to consciously give off some level of care, and it might be a smile, you know, or a wink, or it might be, you know, physical labor or giving somebody pills. It really doesn't make any difference how, what the task is. It's all about how it's delivered, because that's really what the person who needs care wants, is a relationship. It's not the task that we put so much pressure on ourselves to complete. It's really the relationship,
and
it's
not
the friendship.
I noticed also in your bio, Lori, that you also mentioned that it's a perception of that stage of life, that we need to maybe embrace it in a different way. Explain that to me.
Well, we tend to look at, especially with our elderly, we look at it as a last stage of life instead of just the next stage of life. As you know, anything can happen to any of us at any time. You know, I could get hit by a car, or I could run somebody else over, you know, and end up behind bars myself. We just never know what's going to happen next. But we have this false sense of control in this world that says, if I control things, I'm safe. And I'm making things better. And that really isn't the case, because it is a false sense of security, because we really don't have as much control as we think we do. The only thing that we can control is basically our reaction to a situation. And if we keep that in mind and we stop judging what it is others should be doing and how they should act, we actually gain and will feel so much more in control, because now there isn't this prerequisite anymore. We become accepting of individuals and what happens between us. One of the examples I give is with my mother, who has been fighting memory loss for 30 years now. And she's in her end stages of the disease, and her teeth look absolutely horrible. I tell people they look like a rusted chainsaw with fried rice hanging off them, because she's scared of a toothbrush now. And people will look at her and judge her and automatically say she's not being well taken care of. And she's getting very good care. But the people who are caring for her in the nursing home also understand they're not going to wreck her day and cause her great fear and pain just so she looks good for the rest of us. Because it's about her comfort, not ours.
I see.
We tend to freeze frame people in a pinnacle state that we're comfortable with. And so that might be, you know, a kid who was a great athlete and got good grades and then maybe got in trouble with the law, and now they're back on the street, back with family, and people are trying to pull them back to where they were instead of accepting what's actually happened and say, how can I help you? What are your goals? Where do you really want to be? And, you know, or it could be somebody who's in a gang who's doing exceptionally well, and, you know, as far as the gang is considered, and now all of a sudden they want to break out of the gang. And the gang says, no, you've been our leader, you can't do that, you know. And they do that out of fear, because if you leave, that means I'm less.
Right.
Right. And I'm in jeopardy now because of that. And so we do it in so many different factors. We try to freeze frame people, and it's all about our comfort level. So we really have to learn to love and accept people for where they're at and stop trying to control the situation and just look at, you know, are they happy, are they pain-free, and are they safe? Because that's really what matters in life.
Well, that issue of control comes up a lot on this show, letting go of the control. And I can see where it's very apropos in the situation that we're talking about today. Do you know, Lori, some offenders may come home to find that their parents are already in nursing home care. And they're not the same as they were when they left to go to prison. What would be your advice for the ex-offender that's in that situation, that's thrust into dealing with those changes that have taken place in their parents while they've been gone?
Well, there's several things. I think one is, you know, first of all, they have to they have to analyze what their relationship was in the past, and then really focus on what do they want it to be today. Mm-hmm. Because it might be that they're coming home to a situation where maybe the parent was abusive to them all their life, mm-hmm. and now they're supposed to take care of them, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to be responsible for them. And I got
I see that happen. Mm-hmm. I see that happen, Lori.
Yeah, and people, and a person in a training session this morning asked me about that. What do you do? How do you guide somebody? And I said, you know, you can't change the past, but you can change and mold the future. And maybe this is your opportunity to have the relationship with this person that you never had before. Because, you know what, they may have changed. And they might be really pleasant. With Alzheimer's disease, a lot of times we see that it's like, oh, we're really loving this person because yeah. that's not who we grew up with.
Right,
and,
right.
And people are amazed, but if they push back too much, they never experience this new person in their life. Now, on the other hand, they might be the same old mean, nasty person they always were. And then you just have to decide how much are you willing to give of yourself. And, you know, there's lines, and there's not a line in the sand that can be drawn for all of us. We all have to come up with what's going to work for us and
right.
what is going to be mm-hmm. safe for us.
Right.
Because you don't want to set somebody up for abuse. Mm-hmm. But again, part of abuse is it will be viewed in that particular situation of our interpretation of it. So if I have a person with Alzheimer's disease, well, I'll use my mom for example. Mm-hmm. My mom used to carry around a bar of soap in her purse just in case we slipped up, you know. I cleaned my mom up when I was young. And my mom, you know, can swear like a professional truck driver now.
And yeah.
She can really let you have it. And I could focus on that and get really angry and try to get her to change. Or I can just let her say whatever she has to say because that's the only way she knows how to get it out now mm-hmm. and express her emotions. But part of what, in terms of relationships, I tell people there's three things that we typically remember in life. We remember what scares us, what saddens us, and what brings us joy. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's a real easy choice of what I want to put in my bucket. I want to put joy in. Mm-hmm. So that might mean that a person has to retrain themselves for what they're looking for. When they've always focused on a parent that they've been fearful of or has caused them great sadness, mm-hmm. To retrain themselves and refocus for joy, it isn't going to be an easy thing to do. But you can do it if you want it bad enough. And those mm-hmm. moments don't, you know, they aren't just short little things. It might be a laugh or a giggle that you have. It doesn't have to be a whole big full day event of I like this person and I want to be around. It's just those little moments. That's all we really need.
Well, you bring up a good point because, and you've been talking about your mother, and I know that she's in the advanced stages of Alzheimer's, and you have a lot of experience with this. And here's another situation that I've seen come up. If an ex-offender who has been gone for a considerable amount of time, Lori, wants to be a part of a parent's life that is now in a nursing home situation, and maybe they weren't as close, you know, prior to the incarceration, what advice would you give that ex-offender in reinitiating a relationship with someone who's struggling with Alzheimer's? Is that kind of thing even possible?
I think anything is possible if you want it bad enough. Because, again, it's all about relationships. And depending, you know, with Alzheimer's, depending on the stage that they're at, mm-hmm. Even if they're in kind of trapped in that shell of a body that everybody's afraid of, we have to remember that with an Alzheimer's patient, they're much like a coma victim. And people pretty much, you know nowadays that a person in a coma can hear and will take in what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
They just might not be able to communicate back to us. But they're aware. They can hear, they can see, they can, you know, their senses are alive. and they're taking it all in. And so we have to understand, even though someone might appear not to be connected with us, they are. They just might not be able to communicate back with us. Mm-hmm. I had, this is a great example, a woman call me, and she was the main caregiver for her mom, and then she got divorced, she got breast cancer, she had to step back. And it was very difficult for her to kind of pass the task on to her sisters, but she had to do that for about 2 years because she just wasn't healthy enough herself. And she said when she came back in as an active role, her mom had really declined, and her mom just laid in a bed, curled up in the fetal position, didn't talk, didn't respond, you know, wouldn't squeeze a hand, open her eyes, nothing. Mm-hmm. And she said, I just love her so much, and I need to tell her that. She said, but we are not a close family. We don't talk like that. We don't hug. She says, how do I tell her? So I told her to go to a website called Memory Bridge, and there's a woman by the name of Naomi File who has an incredible video that she talks to a woman who she's never met before, who hasn't engaged with anybody for quite some time, and within minutes, Naomi has her engaged and talking. And what she does is she just goes up and she holds the person's face their face in her hands and gently rubs her thumbs over the cheeks and just tells them that she loves them. Mm-hmm. And so I told this woman, you know, watch this video and I want you to go talk to your mom and I want you to hold her face in your hands and you tell her everything you need to tell her. And she's like, but we're just not a touchy-feely family. I said, it doesn't make any difference. I said, this is about you. This is what you need to do for you. This has nothing to do with your mom. This is about you feeling good before she passes. Mm-hmm. And you've got to express that. And so she went into her mom, and she held her hands, held her face in her hands and rubbed her cheeks and just told her how much she loved her. And she said, oh, my God, she said she cooed like a baby and she moved. She never moves. And she said, I can't wait to go see her again because I know that she knows that I love her. And she said, I was so amazed to get that response because we weren't a touchy-feely family. And I said, you know, that's very common, especially for the older generations. But I can't tell you how many people have told me they wish they would have broke the cycle. But that's just how they were raised. Mm-hmm. And so as we age, when we're ill, a lot of times we don't get physical touch anymore. And so somebody just brushing our cheek or holding our hand or massaging our shoulders can just make us melt and come back alive because we know somebody truly cares. So it doesn't always have to be in words, you know, that we express ourselves. But it's important for people to get out what it is they need to say. And, you know, and as long as they're not doing it to harm somebody else, it'll be safe. It'll be okay.
Lori, we're going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about this fascinating topic. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope.
Then they talk about you cold when you were headed for the skies. But you were young and bold, and baby, didn't that change with a wink of your eye? Now no one's talking about those crazy days gone by. No one talks about that.
Hey, y'all. Well, you know, those of you that have been listening to the show for a while know that I'm real big on us as ex-offenders being productive in our downtime. I think it's very important for us. Some people like to write poetry or do art. Others like to play music. And I want to talk specifically to those of you that have taken up an instrument. I want to tell you about a product out there called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. And the way this works is if you know just a few chords, whether it be on a piano, on a guitar, on a mandolin, on a banjo, whatever it might be, this chart helps you organize your playing in such a way that you're able to play hundreds, literally hundreds of songs in different keys. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and the way you find it is you go to angiesbanjo.com, angiesbanjo.com. You click on the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart ebook, and you get a free sample so you can see how that thing works. It's called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. We're back with Lori LeBay. Lori, listen, I wanted to ask you, do you find that it's typical in most families if there are two brothers and a sister and an elderly parent that needs care, that the care tends to fall on just one of the children? Do you find that that's the case?
That's very much the case, and it happened in my own family.
Uh-huh.
And what I realized was what a big mistake that was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me who it fell on, because mm-hmm. I was the organized one, and you know, I was kind of the control freak in the family. And when my dad died of brain cancer, and it was just Mom left with the Alzheimer's, what I realized was I had all these fantastic stories, and I had all this time with my parents that my brothers didn't have. And I felt so bad that they missed out on so much. But what I realized was, because I was the good daughter and the control freak, there was no way my brothers could have ever met my standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no right to make those standards. Because what I learned after the fact was, again, it's not the task that's done or the time frame that it's done in, but it's the relationship. You know, I realize that, you know what, no matter how great I think I am, nobody wants to spend 24/7 with me. I don't want to spend 24/7 with anyone else either.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have other people in our life. You know, we need to have the spice of the different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important for siblings to really talk and share responsibilities. I have some exercises on the Alzheimer Speaks blog that'll help them break down tasks, because a lot of times they sound equal, but then when you really itemize them out, you know, if you get stuck with all the medical stuff, that's not equal to buying groceries.
No.
So,
no.
No. And so it's real important to be able to talk about the burdens of each task and the comfort of each task. You know, one person might not be comfortable giving Mom or Dad a shower. Another one might not be comfortable with the finances or the legal stuff.
Right.
You know, we need to do what we're comfortable and what we're good at. And we also have to realize it's okay to ask for help from outsiders, be that friends or volunteers or service that we hire.
And that leads to your organizations, Alzheimer Speaks and Senior Lifestyle Trends. What are the differences between those two organizations, and how do people get in touch with them?
Well, Senior Lifestyle Trends is my business model, where I speak, train, and consult businesses on how to deliver better care. And so I do keynotes and training sessions and writing, and can be a spokesperson and those things. Alzheimer's Speaks is a resource website that has all different types of information, from medical trials to books and videos and training sessions to if somebody needs an attorney, if somebody's looking for housing. I mean, it's pretty much limitless. I have jewelry and journal writing and yoga classes, all different types of things, because it's about life balance when we're caregivers.
And how do people get to Senior Lifestyle Trends? Where do we find that on the internet?
It would just be www and then senior lifestyle and then trends is T trends.com.
Okay.
Or they can go to alzheimerspeaks.com, which is A-L-Z-H-E-I-M-E-R-S, and then speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S.com. And I'm actually going to be rolling out probably in about 2 to 3 months a new website called Caregiver Campus, which is going to be dealing with, you know, shifting caregiving from crisis to comfort, not just with Alzheimer's, but with, and not just with disease, but with all stages in life. So, for example, I would love to have you listed on that new website because, you know, somebody coming out of prison needs some resources, and it is about giving them care, and it is about, you know, how is it perceived, received, and delivered? You know, we've got to analyze those pieces no matter what stage of life we're at.
Well, Lori, I tell you, I wish we had more time. I feel like we've just scratched the surface here. Maybe we could get you back on sometime and to continue to talk about this. This is very informative and useful information. Lori LeBay, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today. We very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Rodney. You have a wonderful day.
We will, and I will be right back after this. My name is Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hearing from you guys, you can drop us a line at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Look forward to hearing from you. That's all we have time for. I want to thank my special guest, Lori LeBay, and I want to remind you of something. God is for you. Who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.